At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today, we have a lot to talk about. Phoebe and I just recorded another episode for the Patreon where I started by saying, okay, guys, we're going to start by talking. And I built up all of this excitement to talk about the Taylor Swift album announcement. And Phoebe thought I was building up all that excitement to talk about my kidney stones. Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Which wasn't true, but like, since you're dying to know, just kidding.
They're still in there.
Oh, they're still in there. And I just got a text from somebody saying that there was this girl who thought she had kidney stones and she actually gave birth to triplets. And I'm like, that might not work for me. No offense to the triplets I might be growing, may or may not be growing, but I don't think that would work. But they did, you know. That's why I'm like, she must not have gone to the hospital, because they do a CT scan and they can't do it if you're pregnant. So they test you for pregnancy first. So yeah. Girlfriend must have just not gone to the hospital. And that's how I know it wasn't kidney stones. Because, girl, you would have been in the hospital.
I like always am one, like those stories of, and it's always the skinniest girl you've ever seen.
I'm like, three babies who's inside, like, you, and you didn't notice. You thought you were just bloated. Like, what?
Like, the skinniest girl you've ever seen is like, just gave birth.
Really hard for me pregnant. To believe that. Really hard for me to believe that, you know?
And then you see pictures of her while she's pregnant. I'm like, is it the size of a lima bean?
Or you see pictures and you're like, okay, you're obviously pregnant. Nobody thought you were obviously pregnant. Like, not to body shame, but like, you look pregnant. Also, remember the days when, like, I mean, maybe I just haven't experienced this because I'm still like a child bride and like I'm not at childbearing age, but like I feel like it used to be a much bigger thing that people would be like, oh my God, are you expecting? And it was like,
yeah,
no.
Well, I think as a society, we were like, we got to wrap that up.
Well, thank God for that. But then what about all these other things we're still saying? Like, are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? Stop asking women when they're going to have children as if it's their only purpose on this fucking earth. What if I just wanted to get married and I didn't want to have kids? It's none of your fucking business. What if I have a horrible sob story and you asking me that is going to send me into a spiral, or worse, you? I'm going to tell you and now I'm going to trauma dump on you and I'm going to ruin your day, your week, and maybe your life. I'll scar you for life because you asked me if I'm going to have kids. None of your freaking business.
Man, right? We are on a roll. 2.5 minutes into the pod, and we are on a roll.
Well, as I said, Phoebe and I already recorded an episode, so I built up some chattering.
Before we get into the Taylor of it all, I do just have something I want to say, because okay. I've decided how I feel about the Instagram reposts.
Oh, okay, great. I would love to hear this.
I hate them.
Oh, okay.
It's ruining my feed. Ruining my feed.
Okay.
There are people that are in my following and that I follow that have overtaken my algorithm.
Yeah.
Do not repost every single thing that you look at and enjoy, because I might not enjoy it. And every single thing that you repost is showing up on my feed. I don't care to see it.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Heated. The energy in the studio is hot today, guys. It is H-O-T hot. Here's the thing that I want to say about this.
I understand the benefit for our podcast. I will say that.
If you're a business, if you can't beat them, join them. You should be doing it. But on the other hand, one thing I also like is like I can go repost things of ours, you know, so it doesn't just have to be other people's stuff. Right, and I also like it personally.
It doesn't have to be a full collab post.
Right. I like it personally for us, too. On our personal accounts, we can repost our podcast stuff. And then that's what I've really been using it for. We're like, I am reposting a lot of our podcast stuff, and that's in the repost. If you go to my profile, you're kind of going to see that too. But I think also, if you're reposting something, ask yourself a few questions. Does this speak to who I am as a person? Does this have longevity on the feed? You know, like, is this something that I want everybody, even the people who don't choose to look at my story, even the people who rarely like my photos, do I want them all to see that I liked this enough, not only to like it, not only to save it or put it on my story, but to repost it and push it onto all of their feeds?
Exactly. And it's like the feature is only like a week old. I should not look at the repost tab on your profile and see more than like 20 things.
Yeah.
And that's but generous.
I also
in my
feel
opinion.
Like sometimes that's what happens. You know, like Threads. I feel like when Threads first came out, it was like everyone wanted to be on Threads. Threads was this place to be. And now it's like everyone kind of, I mean, there are people on Threads, but it's definitely not the great thing. So I do think some of that is the novelty. You know, it's new. People are still excited by the feature. I also think people might not be realizing how visible their reposts are.
I think that's a good
on our
point.
Feeds. You know, they're not seeing that, like, oh, this is essentially now a For You page, like the Instagram homepage.
And it's also like, I feel like every now on my feed, because of the way the algorithm works to begin with, they barely show you the people that you follow anyway. Right. The reposts, for some reason, are getting pushed through so much for mm-hmm. So I literally feel like for certain users on Instagram, like, I am just scrolling through their reposts.
But perhaps those certain users are just reposting. They have a trigger finger that's a happy trigger finger, you know? And I think for some of the people that I can think of who I've been seeing a ton of reposts, that's probably true. It's also like, why are you so obsessed with having people see the things that you like?
Yeah. That's really
I guess that's
is.
The whole point of social media. But it's given me a good, like, I see who I need to mute now. You know
the
what
content,
I mean?
The content that you're reposting on Instagram is so different than the content you repost on TikTok. Because number one, like, for me, at least on TikTok, I don't have very many followers. Mm-hmm. I repost things that, like, truly make me laugh or that I think are important.
Yeah.
Like, just, or that I want my friend. Like, I think it'll be fun. And also, I feel like TikTok is better about, I don't see everything that my friends repost.
No.
And I might not see something they repost it until, like, a month after they reposted it.
And then it's, like, it's a fun little treat when I want to go to their profile and look through their reposts. It's fun because it's a friend, like Gibson, for example, I can go look through Gibson's repost and feel like it's a For You page that's curated for me, you know, which mm-hmm. I enjoy. But I agree with what you're saying. I think it's almost like in the olden days, Facebook used to be the place where, like, it would tell you everybody's birthday and that's how you would know who to go unfriend and be like, mm-hmm. okay, I don't talk to you, whatever. That is now what the repost is on Instagram, where
that's
it's
a
like,
really good
if
point.
I'm seeing you nonstop on my feed and I'm like, okay, maybe you're somebody that I knew in college and we might have been kind of friends, but now I'm seeing you, like, clogging my feed and I'm like, oh, we're not aligned anymore. I don't want to see all this.
That's
I can
what,
either
like,
mute
wedding,
you or unfollow you. That's what wedding parties
are kind of like that because I feel like especially because I was in a sorority in college. And on bid day, you, like, get a list of all the new members' Instagrams mm-hmm. and, like, vice versa. It's like when you are entering into the sorority, you get, like, so many followers and then you continue to then you follow everybody. And then, like, I'll see these people. I'm like, who the hell's wedding is this?
Well, especially because a lot of times
they
have
a
new last name.
They were senior when I was a freshman. And so, like, I never even met them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't need to be following you.
That's how it is with musical theater, too.
Happy for you.
Because everybody knows each other. And so it's like, I'm following people. And then, like, they'll change their last name. And I'll literally be like,
Yeah. Well, the collab posts are always jarring, too. Because it's like, sometimes, like, the person you don't know in the wedding picture's name will be first. And I'm like, mm-hmm. wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. So, and also, like, a lot of people who get married have the same photography style, have the same wedding dress style and florals and everything. And so, like, if you're just posting a black and
it's
white,
like, whose wedding is this?
Airy, blurry photo of you and your new partner and you've changed your name on
no
Instagram, I have no clue who you are.
Zero clue, bud.
Not saying don't post them. I'm just saying
no,
that
no,
if,
not at all.
If you're
I
looking
just mean that's
for,
another way of kind of starting to weed out who you because I also think that we're getting to a point with the way Instagram orients itself where, like, you, in order to have an algorithm where you're seeing the people that are actively in your life, mm-hmm. you kind of need to weed
out. And you got to really be intentionally interacting with the people who you want to see their content. You know, like, you got to hit that like. If you don't, you can't be careless with it. You can't not. You got to be aware of who you're giving your likes out to. Okay. That's just the truth.
Exactly.
I do think also there's a difference because, like, what I'm going to put on my story is something that I'm comfortable with. I know that the people who probably know me and give a fuck about what I'm posting, those are the people who are looking at my Instagram story because it's closer to the top of their feed and they're actually interested in what I have to show you. But it's also like, I know this is only up for 24 hours. I'm not beholden to this being, like, a part of my personality and image for the rest of my life. If I'm reposting it, like, it's going to be, like, a gorgeous photo of Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo on set of Wicked that I know is going to withstand the test of time. And I would be happy for people in 20 years to look at my Instagram page and say, yeah, that should be on her repost. You know what I mean? Like, it better be something that it's like, this transcends the moment, you know?
Right now, my reposts are going to look a lot like Anthony's reposts, which are just our podcast.
okay, well, cool. And I'm glad to know that Anthony's reposted that because I haven't seen.
Because I haven't gotten, I just haven't gotten used to it yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe that'll change, but right now I feel pretty solid. Like, I just know that for me, it's made Instagram feel less enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do think I like that you're using it for the podcast, and so I'm going to encourage you to continue to do so. So,
well, I mean, that. I will, but I just mean, like...
No, I know what you mean. I'm just saying, I like that that's how you're using it.
My word of the wise to the masses is don't be as, in the words of Caroline, don't be so trigger happy with the repost.
Yeah.
Because you're becoming people's feeds.
You might get yourself muted or unfollowed, and it's like you just went through a phase of repost for a week, and then you're not, that's not who you are, but I'm not following you anymore.
With suggested posts on Instagram, you can mute for 30 days, and... I think you should. That should be an option with repost.
I feel like it is there an option to repost people for 30 days? You can like snooze them on Instagram for like a certain amount of time.
But only certain people? Is that how it works? I haven't tried
yet. No, I think like anybody that you want to go. Like when you go, you can either unfollow, block, mute, or I think you can snooze a person. So you just like don't, you need a little break.
No, but that's
them.
What I mean. Like I like that suggested, but it's just like all suggested posts are gone for 30 days.
Oh, well, that's never going to happen.
Gone for 30 days.
That will literally never happen. What you're asking for, is an earlier version of the app. They're not doing that for you, just for you. That's pretty presumptuous, Stevie. You're like, okay, I want them to make me the app the way it was when we were just... And you basically said as much last week, too.
Mm-hmm. So my opinion doesn't change that much. It's just become more
solidified. Why don't you just go get a fucking flip phone, Phoebe? You'd be happier.
Y'all, I told Dad this the other day, and he told me this is never going to happen because of the way like business works, whatever. If they bring the BlackBerry back... That might be what they need to do.
Well, that was, to get my phone.
To get me off the iPhone, which I would love to do, I think, one day. Mm. Because I just...
I don't think you would actually love that, Phoebe. We have a pop culture podcast. Let's not forget.
No. That's not what I mean. Not because I'm getting rid of all this stuff, but I just mean, like, so that I... Because Do Not Disturb isn't strong enough. Like, I need...
don't want a BlackBerry. You're definitely not familiar with ping on BlackBerry, then. Because let me tell you, Michelle, if you're listening, we love ping. I mean, I loved BlackBerry Instant Messaging.
I just mean
BBMing.
Apps and social media on my phone.
Yeah, no, I know. Let me bring you back to a time. Okay. The iPhone was just starting out and I had a BlackBerry, as did Chloe.
Everyone else.
As did Michelle. As did the cool people who weren't immediately getting iPhones. And we would BBM. And what was so great about that, no, not to be confused with the BBL, BBMing was like iMessage.
BlackBerry Message.
But it was only if you had a BlackBerry and you could see when the other person had read it. And that was like a brand new feature. But you could also ping somebody. So if you typed in all caps, ping with 3 exclamation points, that was notifying them whether they liked it or not. Like, and of course,
it's like the override feature on the
Absolutely,
Do Not Disturb.
But you could do it more than once. So, like, I could ping you as many times as I wanted. I can only override your feature one time. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
Well, it doesn't let you do it again. You click notify anyway. It's not going to let you for any subsequent texts. I've tried.
I've tried.
God, the BlackBerry. But then I look at the photos I took on the BlackBerry. I mean, I'm assuming it would have a better camera. But I don't think there's a world where we're really getting away from the apps. People have to have the apps now. Not just social media. It's like they need them.
I mean, I guess you're right, but it drives me crazy. And
you just
were
born in the wrong era.
Hey, Phoebe's kids. I know you're listening. I know you're going back and listening through all your mom's
obsessed episodes. They're like, hey, Phoebe, what happened to Aunt Caroline? She mysteriously disappeared one year, and we've never met her. But I'm dying to know who she is after listening to the podcast. And you're like, don't ask about your Aunt Caroline.
Let's write that book.
Okay.
No, but the kids use the pot. Oh my gosh. And the other sister murdered the other sister. That's the ending of the book.
You murdered me.
What I'm saying.
No, worse. I murdered you. And then I'm pretending to be their mother because you are twins.
Yes.
And they're like, I noticed your skin pattern. I know you're my mom, Phoebe.
They have to
sift
through all the podcast episodes for clues. That's how they solve it. They're like, the police in this town.
They're useless.
They're never going to get to the bottom of this. So
this
I gotta
this
take
is
it
family
on my own.
Business. This is family business.
That's the name of the book. Anyway, hey kids, stop asking me for a smartphone.
Kids, go to bed.
You're not getting one until you're 18.
Until you can fucking pay for it. Because
at
honestly,
least 16.
I'm protecting you. I'm protecting you.
Certainly no front facing camera, And no. I don't even want them to have apps. Like, you can have a fucking gizmo watch.
Yeah. And that is the thing. I'm like, kids should have gizmo watches until they're 18. Okay, yeah. There. Okay, there. I'll let you know. Me and my friends, we were not better for having camera phones.
No.
Just tell you that now. Okay.
Yeah, they're not getting a camera. You're getting a flip phone and a gizmo watch.
Yeah. I had a flip phone for a long time.
No camera on the flip phone either. Breaking it,
but they do have cameras. Okay, so I have something I need to talk about, and it's my dogs, and it's something new about drama, and so this will make some of you really happy because it's an update from him. So I go downstairs the other morning, walking down the steps, and I, like, immediately am gagging. I am hit with the worst smell on earth, okay? Trigger warning, dog poop and throw up. I am like, oh, my God, what am I about to walk into? Drama has a sensitive stomach. He must have gotten sick. So I go in. Oh, I didn't even have to lift up the blanket on Drama's sleeping quarters to see that, yes, he had had liquidy things coming out of both ends that were now seeping out of the crate. Poor guy, he did not cry. He did not bark all night long. Still thrilled to see me, tail wagging like crazy. I let him out.
Well, it's all out of his system.
Tail wagging like crazy, shit going everywhere. Shit all over me, shit on the walls, shit it's on his paws. It's all over the house, all over the carpets. And I'm like, ah, like scream, get him out of the house as fast as I can. Call Anthony down here to help me. We pull out the tray from his crate and like take it outside before we've even looked at Chuck. And he's like, is Chuck okay? I was like, I'm sure Chuck's fine. Oh my God. I open up Chuck's crate. If you thought the scene in Drama's crate was bad, Chuck's is 10 times worse. And Chuck has blood on him, on his booty, which is so sad. And they're both just like fine and fine spirits, but they are like have done something unthinkable in here. So now we're having to do the whole thing where we like keep the neighbor out of the yard. We keep the dogs outside so Anthony can like hose down and clean the crates. I'm on the inside on my hands and knees scrubbing the floors, scrubbing the walls. It took me like 3 hours to clean all of this, okay? It was disgusting. Anthony takes the boys for a bath and we've been doing chicken and rice. Drama's going to the vet this week anyway, but I think they just must have both eaten something in the yard or something like that. I don't know. It's really, really odd. They didn't have this happen again. It was crazy. It was disgusting. But we're like all hanging out the other night and Drama's like, Mama, I really need to tell you something. And I'm like, okay, what? And Drama's like, well, more like I need to introduce you. I was like, introduce me? What are you talking about, Drama? And he's like, remember that whole accident me and Chuck had, me and Charleston had? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that wasn't Drama. And I'm like, okay, who was it? And he goes, that was chaos. And I was like, wait, what? What? And he goes, that was chaos, Quab Apocano. And I'm like, Drama, what are you talking about? And Drama's like, that's my alter ego when I'm a little bit naughty. You're actually not talking to Drama anymore. Drama Dween D'Angelis. You're talking to Chaos Quab Apocano. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, okay, Drama has this like Jekyll and Hyde moment. Chaos. So now when I'm like talking to him, I'm like, Drama, he's like, the name's Chaos. Chaos Quabapple. And he'll just keep saying that to let me know like who I'm talking to. And so Chaos Crabapple Connell is Drama Dream DeAngelis's alter ego. And I don't know why my last name is the one that got stuck with the shit and vomit monster, but it did. And Chaos also like is the one that's like going for the shoes. Chaos is the one when he's feeling a little rowdy.
Right.
And Charleston's like, Drama, please, can we take a break from Chaos for a minute? And he's like, Chaos makes the call. Chaos calls it shots here. And that's like how he talks. And it's crazy. So anyway, I just wanted to update you on Chaos Crab Apple Connell. I mean, I don't know. But that's the update on Drama. You guys were begging for one. I hope this was sufficient.
Wow.
Isn't that hilarious that he said all
that? Was that Anthony or you?
Oh, it was Anthony. It was all Anthony. He goes, do you mean chaos? And I was like, what? Chaos Quab Apple Connell. And yeah.
Quab.
Quab Apple Connell. Because he was all upset the other day because he didn't have a middle name. Because Charleston does have a middle name. It's Charleston Stage DeAngelis. So he was like, I want one. How about Dream? Dream is beautiful middle name for a dog. And so Drama Dream DeAngelis is like, and then I guess he really ran with that. So Chaos.
CCC.
Yeah, and DDD. Like, yeah, obviously. So there's that. There's the drama update for you. But it is so funny. I don't know how Anthony thinks of these things as quickly. Like, Chaos Crab Apple is so funny. Anyway, one more thing before we get into Taylor Swift. So every year I like buy a few things that are like nice Halloween pieces to sort of add to my collection, building it over the years, you know. So I'll choose like a few things that I'm like, oh, I have to have it. Then I'll go to Target and get like, you know, whatever, the little pumpkins and the little bat, like that kind of shit that I do. But for the pieces, you know, that we're building, because our mother, you guys, like, we're spoiled. We grew up in a holiday house. I don't know how else to put it. Like, she has
for
the house
holiday.
Decked out for every holiday. I obviously teach at their house. She will have the studio decked out. She has gnomes out in the front lawn for the kids, and every single different, like, I have to put the back to school gnomes out today.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So when I was staying there in Pittsburgh, I had to pick the gnomes up for the yard. And then,
and by the way, guys, these aren't like, they're not like massive lawn gnomes. Well, yeah, but I don't want them to think that it's like massive, like lawn gnomes. Like they're small and,
but
it's like
tedious.
A little village. Well, of course.
And I didn't put them back out immediately. And mom had called me to figure out like what I was going to, like when I was going to leave or whatever. And she goes, or no, dad did. And
yeah,
then I hear
dad,
mom in the
mom.
Back. And she goes, and why aren't the gnomes back out yet?
They saw on the Ring camera that the gnomes
they looked
had
in the ring,
not been
And then
put
I was like,
yet.
I didn't put them back out yet. And mom goes, well, I hope none of my little friends have come by.
And mom's
see them.
Like actually pissed off. Because literally kids do. They like come down. It's like their excursion for the day. As they like walk down.
And
see
they'll
the
like
gnomes,
rearrange them sometimes.
They'll leave offerings sometimes. Get some little crystals that were left about a week ago. I don't know if you heard.
Always a little... a Polly Pocket purse sometimes.
Yeah, there's something. There's always something. So mom just is like, and especially Halloween and Christmas, like the fall, winter decor of that house, there's just nothing like it. And I always look at it and I'm like, oh, this is so aspirational. Like, this is what I want. But the fact of the matter is mom has spent her whole life building these collections. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just happen overnight. So anywho, I pick a few things every year from different stores to build in my collection. And this year, I've chosen to pick up some things from the Spooky Soiree collection at Williams-Sonoma. And the reason I'm so taken with these is because I believe they are timeless. We've got these witches, okay, on the plates or the mugs or whatever. It's just like a white plate with like black trim. Got some skulls in there, but they're also white. You can't really see them. And then this witch in the center. And this is a fucking ugly witch. And I just want to say, bring back ugly witches. Like, I'm sorry, ugly witches are monoculture. When did we get into the spirit where witches have to be hot? Like, what happened
Caroline?
To the Mrs. Gulch type of witch with the wart on her nose? You know what I mean? Like, that used
Caroline,
to be
your,
why people were scared of witches.
What's your favorite musical?
It's not Wicked.
Okay. All right. Well, you know that that's where I'm going with
Well,
this.
I wasn't going to, like,
so just
lie because someone asked us to talk about our favorite Broadway musicals, and I don't want them thinking that Wicked is my favorite musical.
But you do, it
well,
holds a very special place in your heart.
Yeah.
And Cynthia and Ariana.
No, I know that.
Adina
but
and
think
Kristen.
Of where this began, right? This began with The Wizard of Oz. And
yeah,
Mrs.
Right.
Gulch and The Wizard of Oz is meant to have this horrible nose and like the claws, and, like, you know what I mean? And that's why Dorothy is so surprised to meet Glinda the Good Witch, because she says, you don't look like a witch. And that's when
that's
we learn,
true.
That was sort of the first one where we learned that there are witches that are beautiful as well, and those are the good witches. But forever, the history of like the spooky witches we were scared of were these creepy fucking witches with warts and gnarly hands and whatever. And like, I just think it's gonna hold up so much better. And I'm literally leaving Wicked out of the conversation. Like, I do know we just made that analysis, but that doesn't count for me because it's like a whole separate thing. But I mean, if we're talking about decor, I'm done. Like, I don't want to buy decor with like a beautiful witch on it, like that.
No,
that takes
that.
Away the charm of this piece for years to come. If it's like,
I agree,
because it's also like whatever those beauty standards for that witch are, they're going to be rooted in the now, and so then that piece is automatically not timeless unless it's like that vintage, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch sort of cartoon illustration. Like that works,
yeah.
But it sort of needs to be really specific if it's going to work. I don't know. What do you think? I'm just not into the beautiful witches right now. Besides for Wicked, but I mean for Halloween. I don't want a beautiful.
Well, it feels more like exactly what you said. Like, it just feels more timeless, and it harkens back to like a vintagey Halloween that feels like warm and like a Halloween town. Even though the witches in that aren't ugly, but like it feels.
But there are
like
some,
kind of,
you know what I mean, where it's it's just like that. It's the whole witches weren't born as like something that could be pretty or ugly. They were born as like terrifying things. Think of the Salem witch trials. Like, where did this come from? They weren't meant to be aspirational, beautiful creatures. Like, they just weren't. And so I think if you're building your Halloween collection, you're going to do better buying the pieces with the ugly witches, because that's going to.
Yeah, that's true.
Hold up. So anyway, spooky soiree collection at Williams Sonoma. So cute. I love it. I got a bowl, I got a tray, and I got a mug. And I also got a mug for somebody as a gift. And nice. That person's going to really like it. So anyway, I just needed to talk about that for a second.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's get into Taylor. Let's waste no more time. Oh my God, you guys. The life of a showgirl. Turquoise and orange. So we talked about this for like one single second of the podcast for Patreon, but Phoebe said something that she thinks. So what were you saying about the galvanization of
the oxidation?
Oxidation. Yeah.
Of copper.
So
the patina.
What? There we go. So what are people saying about that? They're like, why would
Like Taylor was like this shiny thing, and now she's starting to oxidize. And what is the life? And does every showgirl start to oxidize?
Well, let's look at the movie with Pammy Anderson. You know, the last showgirl, the final showgirl, whatever that was called.
Which, by the way, like that movie just didn't make the waves that it deserved to. The Naked, listen, I'm loving The Naked, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm loving what the conversation that Matt and Bowen had about it on the podcast this week made me excited to see it. I think that it's getting people in the movie theater. Like, I'm not disparaging this movie at all. I think it seems like a really big success, and I'm happy for everybody involved. But I think there was something so beautiful about The Last Showgirl being her return to the screen. And I just wish it had a bigger moment than it did, because it just feels like she deserves it.
I feel like people are looking at The Naked Gun as this is her big return. And it's like, no. Some of us were here for this.
And I don't want them to see this. And I'm not saying that the work she's doing in this movie probably isn't great, but it's a comedy. It's like a hard comedy. So it's like they are going to, I don't want it to, I hope that it doesn't. And I'm sure she won't let it, but I'm afraid that it will just re-stereotype the kind of role that she does, and people might not understand how talented she is. She can do real dramas and really move people and make them feel like that movie really like rattled me. And it's because of her performance. So it's like, I don't want Hollywood to lose sight of it, because that was like a smaller indie movie.
That, and I feel like so much of, especially the promo for Naked Gun, is wrapped up in her romance with Liam Neeson, which I couldn't be happier for her. And it's really like, I'm so happy to get to see this happening.
I can't remember if it was her daughter or her sister, but Natasha, I can never think of Richardson.
Yeah.
Princess Diana in my brain. And I remember
Parent Trap Mom. Yes, she was Sally Bowles in Cabaret.
As a kid, I thought she was Princess Diana. That's what, and a lot of people my age thought that they looked alike. And then we all grew up and realized that not only is Princess Diana dead, but they're both dead.
So imagine how bad that day was in the Connell house.
But her sister or her daughter commented on a picture of Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson and like was really supportive.
Gave her blessing, which is, because he hasn't really dated anybody since. And
I don't think so. Well, I mean, anybody, not this publicly. That's
certainly not that they've been willing to bring into the light. But so as happy as I am for this couple, I don't want it to, it's just like so classic, especially with her story.
Yeah.
I don't want her stardom to be usurped by this relationship with this man, which is, it happens for so many women, but like especially with her lore, it's just like, I want her to have that moment on her own, which I do feel she had with The Last Showgirl. Yeah. If you saw it, if you didn't see it,
that's what it is. I just feel like not a lot of people did see it.
Yeah. And it was, oh my God, it was heartbreaking. It was beautiful. And Jamie Lee Curtis was so good in that movie. Like, talking about great performances from JLC. No one's talking about that.
Why that movie with that cast didn't
Brenda Song, Kieran like, Shipka.
Batula, is that his last name? I always say Batula, but it's know. Not. The guy who played her ex-husband.
Oh, who's in Guardians of the Galaxy's wrestler. Yeah, what is his name? Dave Bautista.
Bautista.
Yeah. Yeah, not Amanda Batula, Dave Bautista. Often she was in it. but yeah, like it just was so great, and so that is my one thing with it. But
I want us to be able to get to a place with this relationship that we're at with Meryl Streep and Martin Short.
Yeah, so we don't.
Where it's just like we're just excited for these.
Yeah.
People who are finding love, yes, at this stage in their life and right, seem super happy and like they're, yeah, having fun. And then also letting them still be Meryl Streep, Martin Short, right, and Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson.
I think that is one thing that's a little bit tougher for Pam Anderson and Liam Neeson, because Pam Anderson, for so long, she wasn't taken seriously. Her entire reputation is rooted in this, you know, sex tape. Lord wrote a song about it on her album. Like, that is what her legacy has been for so long. Whether or not that's okay, that is what it is. And for him, it hasn't obviously been that way, because he is the luxury of being a man. But like, I do think what stinks about that is Meryl Streep had so many years and Martin Short had so many years to establish themselves on their own,
yeah,
as these like pillars of the comedy community, of the acting community. Whereas Pam Anderson missed out a little bit on that because of how wrapped up she was in the sex appeal, in the, you know, Tommy Lee of it all. And so unfortunately, like, they don't, I wonder if they'll be able to have that, if they'll be able to like shine on their own. Not that I don't think they will, but you know what I mean? Will mm-hmm. we let them as a people? But it's that idea of like, I love that sort of analogy for Taylor's album where like, yeah, she's not that shiny thing anymore. She might be having some oxidation happen on her beautiful copper, but like it is.
But you also, that's also like, then you, there's the other layer of it that it's like, but the Statue of Liberty is iconic, yeah, because of the oxidation,
right?
And also like the patina on copper can make it more beautiful,
right? And how Pam Anderson being the final showgirl, you know, the last one who's doing that show, like there's something to be said for the dedication, the work mm-hmm. ethic, the love for it, the love for being a showgirl, you know, right. And despite everything and despite knowing that like people are going to have things to say. I don't know. I'm really, really looking forward to it. The photos. Oh, my God. So Mom and I were having a conversation about it before she saw the photos. And I was just like, we were talking about her. Oh, she asked if she had had work done on her face. And I was like, I mean, probably.
There is speculation. Yeah, they're not in a way that it's like,
I don't think, obvious. I honestly don't really notice it that much. Me either. But I have seems heard, like, obviously, people talking about
it. The people that notice it seem to be the people who don't like her.
Yeah, exactly. Much. Not that our mom is like that, but she's
no,
a
no,
mom,
but I just mean,
so.
When I see discourse online about it, it's normally non-Swifties, yes, talking, agreed, about it.
So, you know, whatever. I was like, I just want her to stop because she's so beautiful. And I was like, she goes, but she's really kind of like ordinary looking. And I was like, I think we are so used to seeing her that she feels more ordinary looking now, especially among these people who are, well, getting all this crazy work done, where there's this new standard of beauty that, yeah, she's not. And she's not dressing the way that, you know, people want her to dress. And
for the last couple eras, less so Midnights, but like Folklore, Evermore, yeah, and even Tortured Poets, it wasn't like a glam album, so she
it wasn't
was doing
a showgirl,
a lot more natural,
right,
stuff,
exactly.
And like, I think growing up when she was in country, she was kind of like a fresh faced, yeah, bare faced, mm-hmm, girl next door kind, right, of person who did look like a girl you went to high school.
I remember being in high school and thinking she was the most beautiful girl I had ever seen in my entire life. There was a girl in my school who kind of looked like her, and I just remember being so jealous of her. Like, I was just like, she's the most. And I think also part of that was because she used to do such awesome eye makeup, and I was such an eye makeup girl, and like she would do like the sparkly eyeshadow and the wing, like she still has the wing liner. But I was like, part of Taylor's like, she can't go too far anyway, because her whole thing now has been eras and how she transcends time, and so she hasn't been able to look too rooted in any time period, because like she needs every person to love her,
even though she, I mean, she is one to embrace a trend.
That is
at least true. Like, she to me is the 2012 hipster,
yeah,
kind of.
But
like
today,
her,
do you feel
Keds.
She's still doing that?
No, but I think she's just like found her style.
I think so too.
And I think, well, there, I are think probably she's just parts like of her style, and I don't mean that, I'm not using this in the derogatory sense, mm-hmm, but there are aspects of her, it seems like a millennial, yeah, who has found her, like what she's comfortable, yeah, in. And I think you see parts of the 2012 indie hipster kind of stuff pulled in, like patterns like that, and kind of the preppy, but like kind the of plaits, like dressed down the, preppy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think another thing for her, though, is like at this point, she, I feel like, must see herself as a bit of a blank canvas where she's like, I am
kind of like a model.
Yeah, like I am who I am when I'm going to dinner with my boyfriend or whatever. But so much of who she is, especially with this return to the press tour in general for movies, et cetera, it's like she has to be attached to the era, you know? And so it's like she's going to dress as the era and whatever that is. But then at the end of the day, when she takes all that off, she's still just this person. And that's who she's going to show up as on the daily. But like then we see her with the, so it's the era isn't necessarily Taylor. It's just like Taylor is putting on the costumes of the era, the life of a showgirl, whatever. I had a thought to say. Oh, so Mom and I were talking about that. And she was like, she's kind of ordinary looking. I was like, I think compared to what the beauty that we see from people who are so done up and have so much work done, we're used to seeing this level of like, even if you don't look at the person and think they're so beautiful, you're like, whoa, because they look like they have, we should believe that they're beautiful or whatever. And I was like, Taylor and Phoebe and I talk about this often, or like, God, sometimes I just want to be like, no, guys, like she's one of the best looking humans on planet Earth. We're just so used to seeing her that we no longer have the, wow, she looks so beautiful anymore.
And sometimes she does miss.
Yeah. And we see her from so many different angles, and we see her when she's not looking her best with her outfit or whatever it is. And it's like, that's just what it is. But anyway, I was like, I don't know, though. I think she's like one of the most beautiful people ever. We just take it for granted because she's just, we see her. Wait,
and
so
I also think
much
that
of
does
her.
Speak to the natural look. Cause like, I mean, you even see it like, when you talk about conversations about the stars of, like, last century, the natural look, like, Stevie Nicks was so beautiful because she just was Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
And I think we noticed that. I think we talked about it when Daisy Jones and the Six, the, like, movie or the show came out. And it's, like, something about the period placement fell off.
Yeah.
And it's because of the faces that, like, people have built now, like everybody gets their lips done the same way, and their eyes and all this stuff, and then also like the teeth, it's another thing. Not that, I mean, Taylor has veneers, but like
they're not like the veneers that we're used to seeing.
Exactly. And it's just, there was the natural look, I think, will make its way back.
Yes, I do too. And so anyway, all of this to say, I then showed Mom the photos that she's been taking, and Mom goes, oh my God. And the one photo of her where she's like in a passe and her arms are out and she's like looking down the camera and she's got her like red lip. And
I think that was my favorite one.
Oh, Mom goes, look at that picture. I mean, Mom was like stunned by how beautiful she was. So I was like, do you see now what I mean? Like, she's not doing this all the time. This isn't her. This is the era that she's in, but this isn't her all the time. But she is capable. Like, she's so beautiful.
Oh, okay. So, guys, my initial thought on the, and I still kind of stand by it just because of, I don't like the photo.
Okay.
I don't love the album cover, but after hearing her explain it, kind of the thematically what it's supposed to communicate, she explained it on New Heights is like, that's the end of the night of the Eras tour, is me like in the bath taking my makeup
taking
off.
Everything off.
So I kind of, I understand that. I just don't think it's the best picture in the photo shoot. I think her face, I think the face she's making doesn't quite work with where it is in the water. There's just certain things. It's not my favorite album cover.
Yeah.
But what I will say, and I've talked to many of my friends this week about it, is like, there, more often than not, I don't love her visuals or her aesthetics.
Yeah, it's true.
That's not why I'm in the, that's not why I'm in this.
I know. No.
So I kind of like the Reputation era, I was like, if I see one more fucking snake in this newspaper font, I'm out of here.
I know.
Like,
I know.
We gotta wrap it up. Like, that's why for me, Folklore Through Tortured Poets, excluding Midnight's, aesthetically, those are my three favorites.
It's also just like, there. That is what I always say about Taylor, though, is that there's something for everybody. Because, like, those aren't my favorite aesthetics. You know what I mean? Like, I love this. Like, I'm like, this is exactly what I wanted from her. You know? So it's like, there's a Taylor era or a Taylor moment for everybody.
I wish everybody would let themselves enjoy that.
Forget that. Let's talk about the track list a little bit. Okay, so number one, The Fate of Ophelia. I also thought the album cover was a bit of a nod to Ophelia. She obviously dies by drowning. If you're not familiar with Hamlet, she dies by she kills herself by drowning.
I loved the part of the New Heights podcast where She's like, Travis knows Hamlet. And Jason's like, no, he doesn't. And Travis goes, yeah, you've seen The Lion King. And Jason goes, that's Hamlet?
And Taylor's
goes,
like,
Taylor goes, see? He knows, he hasn't read it, but he can tell you about it.
He's just sort of, Hamlet's just sort of this guy. He's just like bopping around, doesn't know which way's up. He just immediately pulls from Freaky Friday. But I was wondering if that first song was sort of a nod to her title. Maybe. And like the fate of Ophelia, and everything. Okay, so next we have Elizabeth Taylor. I don't know how I feel about having two name songs back to back. And I don't know why I feel like the Elizabeth Taylor thing is a little overplayed.
No, I agree with that.
Okay.
And I think that's, I feel that way as a culture, not just with Taylor.
No, I agree.
There are a couple other Taylor references that she's made to Elizabeth Taylor.
Uh-huh.
But what I liked about Burton to his Taylor from Ready for It was mm-hmm. that it was just quick enough that if like you had to pay attention and kind of get the reference to be like, that's an Elizabeth Taylor reference.
Right.
This is a little more on its face.
Or a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'm going to love it.
I know I'm going to love it. I'm not worried about it. Track 3, Opalite. I'll love it. Okay, I think it's funny we go from track 4, Father Figure, to track 5, Eldest Daughter. Mm-hmm. First of all, we know the history of track 5. That is often a massive right. track for her.
Well, we also heard Father Figure by George Michael was sampled.
Oh, my God. And that makes me think of, you know what it makes me think of? Nicole Kidman in that Hawkeye. I will be your father figure. You know what I'm talking about?
That hot guy, Harry Dickerson?
Maybe. I don't know his name.
From Baby Girl?
Yes. You know, when he looks so hot in that scene where he's shirtless and he's in the hotel room and he's holding a drink and he's dancing around a father figure. Ah! I think he looks so hot. Like, I was like, oh, my God, watching that scene. I was like, I get it.
I did not like Baby Girl.
I know you didn't. And I didn't really like it either. I like him. He's like got this like swag about him that's like
hot. And that's probably how I was gonna say that's how I feel about Nicole Kidman, and then I was like, that's not actually how as you
Nicole Kidman just has a swag about her that I think is really hot. I think you like her for a million other reasons, honestly. That can be one of them.
I'll watch anything Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, but the swag, I don't know. But like, okay, so I'm excited. I didn't realize that Father Figure was sampled in there. That's exciting.
Well, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but that even before the leaks, that was kind of on the table.
That's going to be gorgeous. Going into Eldest Daughter, which I do think, not us getting Favorite Daughter and Eldest Daughter in the same calendar year, and not this album coming out the day that Phoebe and I are going to the Lord concert.
Guys, and we're kind of going to the Lord concert with enemy territory as far as Swifties are concerned.
Well, I do feel like, I don't know, there's something about me when I get in there that I just feel like everyone's just going to like get with it. I'm a different energy that's coming into this group.
You are.
And I do know them and they know me. And I do feel like it's just going to be like, I feel like they're just going to have to, I'm going to be
we just
nice.
We'll pregame the pregame with.
We're taking off work that day.
With Taylor.
We're going to have to.
And then.
Well, Phoebe and I will be listening at midnight the night before, obviously.
Right.
Maybe together, which would be fun. And then we'll pregame the next day too. But I mean, I'm excited to just listen to Favorite Daughter and Eldest Daughter back to back for like a few hours and just like then go into therapy. Ruin the Friendship is track 6 and people are saying they think it's about Blake. I just don't.
And I'm
also
like,
knowing how long
convenient.
She's been working on this.
Like, it's very convenient now that we're getting leaks to the press about how they're not speaking. And I'm just like, guys, I don't buy it anymore.
I don't buy it. I think that Blake, I mean, I don't know, but I do feel like Blake and or Taylor was like, stay as far away from this as you can. Like,
I also
don't get
involved. Ruin the Friendship to me is giving, like, going from friends to more than friends.
You know, that's Ruin the Friendship. What is that? Is that Demi Lovato that I'm singing? Speaking of, Demi released a single and
it's fire.
Love it.
Well, she said, I saw in an interview, she was like, the Rock thing was more
didn't
like, I
her.
Just wanted to try it out. Didn't work out. But like, cool, which is Matt Rogers is going to be so happy. Somewhere Matt Rogers is shrieking because she said, cool for the summer is just like, that's where I thrive.
Yes.
I'm like, you're right.
Give me.
Demi was perfect for the punk pop. Like,
absolutely.
La La Land is a perfect album. But.
Give me Pop Girls Demi. She's hot.
She can get
a great dance track.
She's got great hooks.
Like, I mean, and then the vocals. It's like, give me a pop song with some fierce fucking vocals. We don't get that all
the
time.
And then, like, in like 10 years, do like a little rock opera with Adam Lambert. Just
or
like
do
kind
a
of
little
get
vocal album like Lady Gaga did. Do like an album that really shows your vocals for the naysayers.
Me doing the Cynthia Erivo. me
stabbing like, the top of her bald head.
Me, wait. Adam Lambert is to Demi Lovato what Tony Bennett is to Lady Gaga.
That is essentially what we just said. You and I together with what we said basically did that. So there you go.
I had another thing that I wanted to say.
Ruin the Friendship could be about Maddie Healy.
Well, I think that, well, that's what I think that it's more likely that it's a song about like hooking up with your friend.
Yeah. And like,
and ruining
and, like,
the friend.
I
don't think she's writing a little, especially honestly, for the legal sake. I don't think she's writing a song about Blake Lively
believe, if I want to take this to a personal level, I don't believe Taylor's doing that to her godchildren. Whether or not she and Blake are friends.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that she's doing something, sensationalizing it like that. So I could see that being about Maddie Healy, because how painful to like be friends with somebody for so long, and it's like you can be safely be friends and have that connection that will they won't they, and it never ruins it. I kind of feel like I had that with my one friend, and then like as soon as we crossed the line, it was just like
over.
Like we will never be friends again. And it was it worth it? No, it was. I mean, it was. I'm glad I learned what I learned, but like, you know. So I feel like that could be about that, and then actually romantic, which is the next track. I'm like. That feels more like Travis for me, where she's like,
I think I need to look at it a couple.
Oh my God.
Ways.
Actually romantic is about her realizing that football is actually romantic. The sport of football is actually a beautiful romantic dance. That's what that song is about. Mark my words.
I'm really hoping we don't get a song with the word touchdown in it.
I kind of do, because you know, okay. You say that as if you
don't.
No,
but I love that
song.
But we don't need another one.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is, what's the name of the song again?
Actually Romantic.
I wonder if that's also could be about Maddie, because not that I think she's really spending that much time writing about
Maddie
anymore,
songs,
but
album
she does say that in the New Heights episode, she was like, this is what I was writing as everything was happening behind the curtains. And it's like, well, that's split three ways between three different relationships that really seem to have altered her life.
Yeah.
And I think,
what if it's about Carly Kloss?
Caroline, you're going to get sniped.
Okay.
You're going to get sniped.
It's about
this
Carly
episode.
Kloss.
Hey, guys, I just want everybody to know, like, disagreeing with people who speculate about Taylor is not an excuse to be homophobic. Like, you can't get online like, wow, she ended them.
Literally.
She ended them with this podcast. Like, and then, like, really digging in. It's kind of weird. You guys are obsessed with
them.
I also
love the idea that they don't think that sexuality can be a spectrum, and that, like, she could be with a man and be with a woman at any point in her life. Like, I love that they're like, that doesn't make sense to them.
I think both sides, and listen, me and Caroline have found ourselves in the middle of this argument, but I do think both sides are, like, there are people that are taking it way too seriously.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But
of
anyway.
Not us, but
I
of course
think
there are people.
That actually romantic. The reason I don't think it's about Travis is because Travis, I think he was romantic outright. And Taylor said it kind of in New Heights when she was like, he kind of did the thing that I've been writing about forever.
I've been wanting this to happen to me since I was a high school girl.
She was like, it's so romantic to be like on your podcast and be like, I really wanted to meet her. And I like can't believe that I didn't get to, and I was going to give her my number on
the,
like, whatever.
Funny,
like,
the one thing I will give the people who think she's a cringe lord is that, you know, she like prepped lines with Tree ahead of time to say. And I believe some of the bread puns were those. I believe also her saying that Travis didn't get a meet and greet and he made it everybody's problem, which I did. I thought that was hilarious. But also when she was like, he's been using this podcast as his own personal dating app for the last 2 years. Like, very funny, but definitely prepped.
No, she is. She's very funny.
She
cracked
me up with her bread. Talking about bread 60% of the time. And then when she goes, I'm on your blog, girl, I'm on your blog. I thought that was so funny.
She's so funny. But she does make me cringe equally as much as she makes me laugh. That's why I don't think it's about Travis.
Yeah. Okay. Wish list, and both of the S's are dollar signs.
You know I hate that.
This I'm like, okay, Taylor Swift back in the studio for one track, because she didn't give us Reputation. This is it. I do wonder. I couldn't tell you what I think this song could be about.
Maybe it's because maybe it's gonna be like her seven rings and it's about Travis just treating her. I would love that.
That's all that's on her wish list.
Yeah, literally.
She doesn't need shiny things.
I think that people typing their song titles into the thing that uploads things to Spotify, take punctuation off. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it in my song titles.
Okay, but that, I'm going to disagree with you because.
That's fine.
We have to have options for. Okay. All right. Not number on my nine, end. Wood. Girl. Okay. She fucks.
Also, when Jason goes, when Jason lost it, I was like, okay.
Jason, who obviously does not think that Taylor's as funny as Travis thinks she is, which is fine. He could have hit it a little better on here, but he was a great interviewer. It was Big Brother vibes.
I saw this video that was him kind of sped up with his eyes scanning the computer, and they're like, Jason trying to follow Tree's very specific and laid out notes for this interview.
I literally was like, I'm cracking up imagining like the document that's in front of him right now.
And he's like, okay, and then so you have...
We just see his shirt start like getting covered in sweat. He's like, this is the most nervous I've ever been, and I hang out with my brother and you all the time.
I think that but when she said that Wood was the name of one of the song titles, it was Travis and Jason were giving Patrick and SpongeBob in the back of the classroom when they're laughing,
snickering
at, like,
what's funnier than
21,
yeah,
22, like that's them about like laughing with each other about
it's them laughing. It's the middle school boys laughing when they're like doing something that the answer to the math problem is 69 and like literally. the snickers are like writing boob on the calendar. Writing boob on the calendar. Okay.
That was Caroline's favorite
trick was to just write boob on the calendar. Okay. 10 is cancel with an exclamation point. Sorry, Phoebe. So someone was talking like, why do you think she spelled it this way? Like it's spelled with one L. The two L spelling is usually used in like in London. Do you think that has any significance, or do you think it's just how she spells it? Because people can spell it either way.
I just think that's how she spells it. Okay. I didn't even think about that, the spelling of it. I didn't even notice that it was weird.
I didn't know until someone spell it. Same. And then somebody said something about it, and I was like, oh, and then someone responded and was like, well, that's how they spell it in London. And I was like,
hey, guys, I think she's just American.
Yeah. So, okay. 11 is honey. Maybe that's her
nickname. I think that's about
Travis.
Because I feel like he called her.
I thought so too. Sweetie. I think I caught that. Yeah.
There were a couple pet names I feel like in there. So I think that one's probably. I'm hoping it's like a sweet nothing kind
of. Me too.
I don't think it will because I think we're getting pop anthems.
Yes.
But like written in the same kind of.
Well, we're going to have to get one that's.
But it's kind of a weird spot in the album for it.
Well,
but I guess that's kind of where Clean fell.
I think that. And then I'm like, well, as if we're not going to get 10 more songs and like 3 hours later. Like as if, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I kind of believe her when she says this is it. Because I really like the way that she's talking about.
Not even a deluxe
the
version.
The way that she.
Like, with three more songs.
I really don't know. I believe her this time.
12
I don't
songs
have any reason
crazy
to.
For a
but
Taylor
I think
album.
That I like the way that she's talking about the process of this album, and I think it's very like we kind of need, I think, to bring back clean cut, like this is the pop record.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the 12 songs. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Just like this. Where, like I feel like Future Nostalgia was kinda like that.
Yeah. And I will say after Tortured Poets, I think
like,
there was a little bit of fatigue from some people who didn't enjoy it. Couldn't be me.
Maybe.
I love that we got so many, but yeah.
She's so competitive. I wonder if
I can do this with
like,
12 songs and I can still.
Because last time everybody was like, oh, you're just going to release this many more songs.
So, of course, there's no way. So yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point.
Because, I mean, she's done something like that before. With
Speak
Now.
True. I love that we finished this off with The Life of a Showgirl featuring Sabrina Carpenter. Now, after this conversation, I think we're basically it's going to be the you look like Taylor Swift. It's that kind of idea where, I mean, it won't be that sound, but that idea of like, all right, Sabrina, I'm ushering you into the life of a showgirl. I'm you in however many years, and like sort of looking at the beginning and the end of that. Not that she's at the end.
No, I agree. I didn't listen to any of the leaks.
Me
obviously.
Neither.
I'm a good person.
So we could be completely wrong about all
of these.
And I have
a heart. And
don't
I have a heart of gold.
Tell us. Don't tell
us. I have
us
a heart
wrong.
Of gold.
But
and I, people are saying they think that song is about Olivia, and that's why Sabrina's on it. Like all this.
Okay,
stuff.
I don't think so.
And I just don't
there are a million reasons for Sabrina to be on that track.
I'm also
that have
like,
nothing to do with
guys,
Olo.
I love. that Anthony calls I know. Her Oro.
I told Anthony the other day that he said something because he's like over
and he
Oro,
says, guys, this is how he says it. This is kind of his whole energy when he walks into a room and like he thinks Oro might be on the topic of conversation. He's like, talking about Oro.
He loves Oro, and I think it's a hilarious thing. But he's like over Chapel Row, and he was talking about like she's no Oro. He kept saying things like, and I was like, okay,
what's so different?
Yeah, we'll talk about that on another episode.
Did he like Renee Rapp's album? I know he's a,
yeah,
I know
we
he's
both
a,
really
I know he's
enjoying
a rap
it.
Star.
He's a rap star.
I don't know if that's what they're called.
Well,
but.
It should be. But yes, he we both really like
I need
it.
To plug my phone in really quickly.
Okay. I think we need to move on from Taylor because we don't have that much time left and we've got some other things to discuss. So while Phoebe's plugging her phone, and I am just going to say that Anthony and I, we were watching Gossip Girl. We finished it. We're now watching The OC together. And season one is taking us forever to get through. But I know Ryan Atwood, like when we did the pilot on the Patreon, that is up there if you guys want to go listen. Phoebe was like, we were like, this is Ryan Atwood is Phoebe's dream man. Like, that's just what it is. And I just have to say, like, I don't get it. I think Ryan Atwood's a little bitch boy. He's not funny. And I know that's like,
to be fair,
joke.
I hadn't seen any of the rest of this show.
No, I know. But one of my best friends, Haley, this has been her show forever. Like, it's her Pretty Little Liars, her Gossip Girl, whatever. And I told her I was watching. She was like, oh my God, like, who are you? Whoever you want me to be. And she quotes like that moment. And I was like, oh God, is she like a Marissa Ryan stan? And obviously there are zillions of Marissa Ryan stans because why else would the show have been what it was? But I'm just like,
It's Seth and Rachel till the day I die.
It's Seth and Summer till the day I fucking die. Like, first of all, Seth Cohen gives Anthony in a major way. And
that Spider-Man kiss is, like, truly one of the best moments in television.
I am loving Seth and Summer. I love their relationship. They're funny. They're fun. Whatever. Marissa and Ryan, they don't laugh. They don't have fun together. I don't know what the fuck she likes about him. There's nothing to like about him except that he's broody, mysterious, and from the wrong side of the tracks. That's it, you know? And he's like constantly just like getting into all this crazy drama. But it's like there's
the amount of physical fights. I'm like, and at what point do we kick him out of the house?
Yeah. And it's at the party. Like, we just saw the one where they're at the big like event in the backyard and what's his name shows up. And I'm just like, all these different older women, all these different things that are happening with Ryan. And I'm like, again, what's the appeal? Why is everybody dropping their panties the second they see Ryan Atwood? He's, first of all, a teen. Let's be careful, women. But second of all, I'm just like, I don't get why Marissa is willing to just like risk everything for
especially
this guy.
Especially when Link like comes back. I know that's not his name on the
show.
Yeah,
Luke. And like, we're loving Luke right now. The way they've changed his character
exactly.
is crazy.
He comes like around. He's like a really
he's
good
like
guy.
A really. We're like, why is he like our favorite character now besides Seth? Like, he's like so likable. Like, he comes from being this like, but this bad piece of shit guy, but actually has a heart of gold, grapples with that a little bit. And then they decided, I guess they liked him enough to keep him around. They needed to make him whatever. But so we're only on season one, but I just want to say, like, I do not understand. And I'm not saying for you, Phoebe, because I know that.
Well,
like,
it was, and it was also coming more from a place of like when I was a kid, like that was the type of Raymond adjacent.
Yes. Yes. It's like Raymond was born on the wrong side of the tracks. So it's like that's the
vibe. Raymond, like,
from
really
Aquamarine, you guys.
For me as a kid.
No, he was, I like the way you move. That plays every time he's on screen surfing.
What do they say? Stretch.
Raymond.
Shake.
Stretch. Shake. Flex or something. Yeah. He likes her. So good. But anyway, I just don't get it. I'm like, can we move on from this man and go find someone who has a personality trait? He's not involved with anything at school. In the first episode, they make it seem like this guy could be like a genius and he just wasn't in the right place for it, you know, or like whatever. He is barely a good friend to anybody. He is cute, but he's like not even like, I don't even think he's that cute enough for all of this to not matter. He's not funny.
He wears a bracelet
and a leather jacket all the time in California. He has no interests. He's just constantly getting into trouble. Like, I just don't get it. I really don't get the Ryan Atwood the thing. So I just needed to put that out there. We're going to keep going on our OC journey and maybe I'll change my mind, but doubtful. It's Seth and Summer all the way. I love them. And it makes me really excited for Nobody Wants This season two, because Adam Brody, he can't help it. He could have chemistry with anybody. It's the way that his screen kisses should be studied. The way he grabs the face and like his thumbs are there and just like, oh,
he's
so
a legend.
He's
legend.
A legend. Okay, you put Lindsay Lohan Verizon on here.
I have been getting a kick out of these commercials.
I don't know if I've seen.
Oh my god! Well, it's because I have cable news on all day.
Oh,
every day.
That is why. Yeah.
I have these commercials memorized at this point. Every commercial
love
ever
that for
on television. Lindsay Lohan is doing Verizon commercials, mm-hmm. and she they're kind of the same tone as like the Pete Davidson Verizon commercials. Did you ever see those?
No.
Well, anyway, they're doing like, I don't know, they're just like, you're kind of like following the celebrity around for like 15 seconds and they're like explaining their day to you. And but she's been saying like, one of them is she is like, everybody wants to know my secret these days. And she like, she's like making a joke about her, like her face and everything. And she like, then she starts talking, but her comedic timing, I'm like, this is Parent Trap, Mean Girls, Freaky Friday, Lindsay Lohan. Like she, and the way that she like, I don't know, there's something about those commercials that make me laugh.
I love a commercial that's funny. Like, let's bring back, if we're gonna make me watch them at like top volume on all these streaming apps, can we please make them entertaining?
And I just think, I just love that we're getting this side back from her. Also,
I know.
Wait, actually, I'll save this for my rotation. Let me write that down.
I saw Weapons, and Phoebe, I loved it. I really loved it. I didn't have the same level of expectations that you had going into it. But I really enjoyed it.
Oh, fuck. I'm on dream rotation. Never mind.
Yeah. And it scared me.
Yeah, I was scared. But I think for me, it was my expectations. If I had gone in with zero expectations.
So what were your expectations? Like, what were you expecting?
I thought it was going to be life-changing.
Okay.
And I thought, I also think, and this is interesting because Bowen and Matt talked about it. Matt obviously hasn't seen it because he doesn't like scary movies. Mm-hmm. But Bowen did see it. And he said that he was talking to Joel Kim Booster. I love that we're talking about these people. Like, they are our own close personal friends. But they were talking about it and they were like, I kind of like the idea that horror movies don't like need to be about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that I thought that this was
going to be about something.
I thought it was going to be an allegory for something. Ah. And I don't think it was. I think it just is what it was.
Yeah.
And I think I maybe spent a lot of time in the movie trying to figure out what the allegory was. Spoilers, guys. For just the whole, we'll probably talk about it in a way that if you haven't seen it, you might want to skip.
Yeah, for sure.
The dream with the dad when he walks up to the house and sees the massive machine gun above the house, is it a school shoot? Like, did the kid bring a gun to school? And like, we're just not talking. Like, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, that was making me wonder if like he was going to go shoot up the school, the dad, or something like that. Like, I was wondering if he was dealing with such grief over this. Obviously, he's like sleeping in his child's bed,
having
grief, and then he has a dream in the house that ends up being the house that he needed to look at. And I wonder if it was what the dream was really saying was like, you need to show up to this house with a machine gun, which like is what he should have done. I initially was like, is he going to go shoot up the school or do something like that? Like, is that what this is? And that's obviously not what happened. And then we don't return to it. So it was a moment where I was
I think, yeah, it was a little bit of a loose end.
It's a huge image for us not to come back to it ever. I think if we would have at the very end had him show up at the house with a gun or something, that would have like, maybe, I don't know.
Would have tied it up, but I don't think I would have liked it.
No,
the ending of the movie was, I loved the ending.
I did too.
I had so much fun watching it. It was great. And I do think like we just had like a good scary villain. Yes. Like, she was scary.
Oh, she was scary. And it was, that's what I liked about it. That they were like, we're not going to explain this to you. Like, we're so accustomed now to getting the scary movies that have something that needs to be explained.
Maybe part of why I also felt the way I did is because of the kind of horror movies that Jordan Peele produces and makes, and knowing that he wanted his hands on the script so badly that I think I was and just the whole marketing of it, I think I just expected that it was pointing to something bigger.
Yeah.
Which I guess isn't actually a critique. I think I felt like it was initially because I don't know. It's not that I really cared about it. Mm-hmm. I think I just spent a lot of the movie trying to figure out what it was about and kind of felt stupid that I didn't get it. But now knowing that there really isn't a bigger meaning.
And that's why they don't explain it in the end. We don't know how this woman got here. We don't know where she's going,
really,
what happened to her.
What she was doing with the fucking kids.
We have no clue. And they're just like, and be okay with that. Just be scared. And like, it's really well done. The performances are great. The imagery is great. The storytelling
is
great.
Think
it's scary. It's hilarious. The whole theater was cracking up, especially at the end when she's running through the houses. Mm-hmm. I mean, very funny.
So funny. What was I going to say? Oh, one of my critiques I said last week was I thought maybe they did a few too many characters.
Mm, yeah.
Cycling through. And Bowen really liked that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. He liked how it told the story.
I did, for me, too.
I liked the structure of it. Mm-hmm. I just felt like it was one too many components.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been tighter.
And I wonder if that was also, like, part of it. Is there, like, well, one, she needed her army. You know, they needed to, like, have the people there who could be part of her army. But I'm also, like, was it trying to make us think, oh, this, you know, like, get us off the scent a little bit? Or,
yeah, maybe.
Or whatever. I don't know. Or see how this affected the entire town. You know, how the grief, yeah, had really touched everybody here. It's crazy. And I also like that we don't know what's going to happen to the kids at the end. Like, we don't, mm-hmm, know if they're... I like that they weren't dead. But
I
like
that they finished the narration and she's, yeah, like, and some of them even started to talk again.
And that's it. And it's just, I mean, and he's just, I thought it was great.
I do, one thing that I think I wanted, and again, this is just, maybe I just wanted it to mean a, mm-hmm, little something. Like, if it was going to touch on grief, I think we could have,
yeah,
leaned into that a little more. Like, there's that scene in the end where the dad is fighting someone off when he realizes, mm-hmm, the kids are in,
yeah,
the basement.
And he just leaves.
And I kind of thought it was going to be a moment where the grief of a parent for, mm-hmm, their kid was going to be like this strong, massive, mm-hmm, force that was able to overtake, oh, whatever the woman was doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But then the end of, like, even getting to the end of it, that felt like what the movie was about to me.
Yeah.
Even the last scene being him having his son and holding him and taking him home.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but I did really enjoy it. I think if I saw it again and
I want to watch it again,
didn't, and like kind of just like loosened myself up about,
yeah,
it, I probably would like it. Not again.
You liked
it. I didn't
it.
Dislike
you
it
just
at
had
all.
Different
I
expectations for what,
yeah,
it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I one thing I did have a little problem with was at the very end. I mean, obviously spoilers, but where the guy is like trying to kill. I keep wanting to call her Julia Garner. Is that her name?
Yeah,
Julia Garner. Oh my God, I keep thinking Jennifer Garner. I think I'm saying that. But yeah, Julia Garner. I love
from,
Julia Garner.
Ozark.
She's like one of my favorite actresses. I think
and
she's
Anna
brilliant. Yeah, she's, I mean, if you haven't watched her as Ruth in Ozark, holy shit. But anyway, and that's one of my favorite characters of all time also. Like, I love her. But he's trying to kill her and then, you know, the spell breaks, whatever. He drops her and he just leaves. And it's like, I know you're going to get your kid, but like, pick her up.
Yeah, I guess that's apologize.
I just kind of was like, you're just walking out. You're not even like you're aware, but you're just.
But
okay.
I also thought that little boy was an incredible actor.
He was fabulous,
and when he's in
like,
the bathroom,
no, hugging them, or when he's
also,
scared of them,
when he's scared of them, and then also when like that first night when she's like, you don't get dinner and you need to,
yes,
go feed your parents, and he does it, and he like tries to fear, and then you
and
see
then he
him
goes and he gets
go
the
to
soup
the store
cans
and he
that,
gets
he, can
to that, that he can open.
I know.
And then like seeing him get like, obviously it's terrible he even has to, but
yeah,
like getting better at feeding them
and
like even and
feeding the
his,
kids,
feeding the classmates who were mean
who
to him.
I know. I mean,
all that
I know.
Stuff. And then like I
and
the
fact
scene,
that he's able to still be hugging his parents at the very end,
mm-hmm,
like.
I just thought he was really, really good. And it just,
yeah,
him remembering how,
yeah,
to do, like, that she, he watched her and,
yeah,
what she was doing and he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, and his parents are, like the Shining banging,
yes,
in that,
oh my God,
bathroom.
So scary. Like, the visuals were really scary. Especially, it kind of was giving long legs in the way that we finally had this,
mm-hmm,
villain that was so horrifying to look at. That it made you so uncomfortable to look at. And the imagery.
What do you think you liked more, long legs or this?
I think weapons. I love a female.
It was
bad
more
guy.
Enjoyable to be there.
And I like, again, hey, back to the scary witches. Like,
But I also think, like, I think I had the same critique. Stop. I think people who are marketing horror movies and are doing initial,
mm-hmm,
reviews of horror movies need to stop being like, this is the scariest movie,
yeah,
of all,
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Because then I go and I see Long Legs and I'm like, that didn't like scare,
well,
me
that
in
was
the way
a scary
that I thought
movie,
it
though.
Did.
But no, I mean, it also is like different things are scary to different people. Like, for some people, Supernatural is way scarier. For some people, something that's like could be real. When I was growing up, When a Stranger Calls was the scariest movie I could think of because,
yeah, real stuff always
I was babysitting
me
a lot. You know,
but
so
this
like,
felt real enough.
Yeah,
that it was,
well,
like it.
Yeah.
It was still a little supernatural, but like witchy stuff doesn't.
Yes,
doesn't. It's a different kind of supernatural that sometimes. And I honestly like. Kind of the like devil-y stuff sometimes,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
gets me.
It's scary. And what's scary about this too is like it was like, how do you stop her? She's not doing any of this. They're all doing it to themselves, like, mm-hmm. or doing it to other people.
And the kid is the only one
who knows that.
Who knows? And that's like, another thing. I mean, like, witch hunts, like, the kid.
I know, exactly.
If the kid says anything, what are they going to
believe the kid? Like, it's.
And the same with the drug addict, being the one who's like, you have to go see these.
Right.
The kids are in the basement.
Absolutely. It's like using these people who in the community are not typically believed, using the teacher who everyone is holding responsible.
Who's telling the principal.
Need to have somebody telling the principal to hold
and the principal like discounts her, and then he ends up being the victim of his own like short-sightedness.
Well, I loved how we got that, where we see him before we really know who mm-hmm. he is,
know what happened.
And then we get his story. And I
and
loved how they did
her
that.
A few times. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really like,
yeah,
we didn't know what
well,
we
like,
were
what
seeing.
What is this thing we keep seeing on the ceiling, in the woods, on the kid's face in the dream?
Dude,
like
the ceiling one was the one.
Oh,
that
me the I
most.
Screamed. I actually screamed. Well, another. Oh my God, this was a really fun moment in the theater. The moment where we have the woman coming out of the house and you don't actually see her, but you see her having, I thought it was a knife, but it's the scissors. And mm-hmm. she goes to the car and she realizes the car is locked and or she can't get in the car. And then you just, the camera is still on Julia Garner, but mm-hmm. you hear the trunk open. Everyone in the theater went, no, my God. I went, oh my God. Everyone in the theater was like, oh, and then you just hear her get closer and closer. Like, and you think she's just going to kill her. But like that, I was like, that was masterful horror mm-hmm. movie scene where
I
it's like,
that.
We got,
did you see
we were
Barbarian?
So scared. No.
Y'all should watch what Anthony shouldn't, but you should watch it.
Before we go on to our rotations, we would be remiss not to touch on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City trailer that dropped. Oh, we're in for it. Did we get a date?
We're
a premiere
absolutely
date?
In for it. I feel like September something.
Okay. Some big moments from the trailer. Lisa saying to Bronwyn, you need to go back to school. Bronwyn saying to Lisa, you need to go get a job so you can pay off these lawsuits. And Lisa saying,
September 16th.
You gout dick sucker. Oh my God. Oh, that's the night that I'm emceeing a talent competition at the theater I'm on the board of. I'll be watching when
Wait,
I get home.
I did that the other day. I don't know how. I was like. I was at
tip of the hat. That's what she did the other day. You
I was
guys
at a
can't
little pregame
see.
Soiree with some people.
Bragging.
And fedoras came up somehow. Oh, it was that picture of Liza Minnelli that I currently have as a sticker on my phone.
Of
the
course.
Picture of her where she is on the couch with a fedora on with the Andy Warhols of her and her mom behind her.
Yes.
And she has her hand on her hat like she's about to do a tip of the hat. And she has her other arm. She has like her arms outstretched on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did the sticker, it is just her silhouette, so it kind of looks like she's in like a curtsy.
Oh my!
and
Phoebe
like,
is demonstrating, in case you're wondering.
I was like to my friends, I was like, "This is me walking down the aisle.
Me at
a single spotlight sneaker night start. Oh, that's we played sneaker night, and I was like,
"Whoa, the sneaker
like,
night just you just
no,
let that in there."
Wait,
I was
actually,
like,
I need to paint this whole picture.
Okay.
So I lights go out. Sneaker night starts.
Right.
Suddenly no one hears me come in, but suddenly I'm like at the
well,
back
and it
of the
out,
aisle.
Put your sneakers on.
Spotlight.
Put your sneakers on. We're gonna dance it all night and we're here. She's walking down
and
the
no,
aisle.
No, stop. Okay. You haven't heard me.
Okay. I just am assuming. I'm
no,
choreographing
okay.
it as we speak. You're welcome.
Spotlight on me. I'm in a wedding gown.
Well, I would hope.
Snap. The
it falls
the
off your
the
body.
The skirt drops and I'm in an A-line skater dress and high tops.
and you're doing a kickball change
and I,
down
and
the
I,
aisle.
And I grab a fedora from the man in the back of the pew.
Who just
in the very
has
back,
one.
And I grab it and I go.
And you do the. yes. And they're like,
and
are we at
I,
Michael
then
Jackson
I,
the musical?
And then I. Exactly.
Or Phoebe
exactly
Connell's wedding.
And then I start doing the Jets dance from West Side Story down the aisle
when
to sneaker night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then when I get down there, I do full Liza Minnelli.
We'll have to play around with tempos and stuff, but like I know
I
we'll make it work. A little tip of the hat, you give that, and then you throw it into the audience. Someone
and that's who gets
it.
Married
that's
next.
That's the bouquet. Yeah. I'm so with you here. Okay, great. Okay.
Thank you.
And
then when we walk
happen.
Down the aisle back,
uh-huh.
it's the song that plays on the catwalk during Drag Race.
Oh, is it even a real song? Yeah. Get a girl, put the face in your walk, head to toe,
yes.
Let your whole body talk. Yeah. I know what you mean. Of course. Okay.
And that's that,
love
everyone.
That. Love that. Okay, but so back to Real Housewives of Salt Lake really quick. You gout dick sucker. Oh my God, Hall of Fame already. Hall of Fame already. Also, can't believe we're going to see issues between JB Angie and Lisa Barlow. Well, we saw this season already. We saw them have some issues.
I know, but this seems more serious.
Perhaps. And I hate to see that, but more so because, you know, remember that game they were all playing and they're like, everyone has to choose a husband of someone in the group that they would sleep with. And Lisa's like, JB. And they're like, you can't choose your own. She's like, well, he's the only one I would sleep with. And it's like this whole thing. I'm like, so it's, they market themselves as such a team to see that they're having some marital issues is quite a surprise.
The idea of them being on different pages, it's like,
I know, I know. And then also let's talk about and then they're talking about her having an affair. Ooh, which was already, hey, was Meredith actually the Oracle telling us all those seasons ago? And that's why Lisa got so mad.
And that is actually the word that I would use to describe Meredith Marks as Oracle.
As an Oracle. Did you see her on the Watch What Happens carpet? She was talking to someone and they're like, who do you think, what did she say? Who do you think you have the most like beef with this season or something? And she goes, well, and she thinks for a second, and then she comes back and she goes, well, there's Shitney one and Shitney two. So I'm like, okay, Heather and Whitney are on Meredith's shit list, ready for this.
I just love the amount of costumes that we're getting, and it seems like we're getting serious fucking conversations while they're in them.
Oh yeah, I mean, if we had any doubts about this season delivering, I think they have been cleared at this point. I am ready for it. I felt really bad for Bronwyn, and that I can't help but like Bronwyn when she's talking to her mother about how she had this child, and everyone goes, and do you know what a nightmare it was for me to hide it? Oh my God, we're still saying like, now things this, like this all this
when
time
she, when
later?
She's like a full like 14-year-old kid.
So
isn't
Gwen,
she
to
the
you.
Kid?
She's older than 14. I think she's like 18. So Gwen, to you, is a that was a nightmare situation,
yeah,
for you
exactly.
Hiding
like
that. When it's like you weren't the one who had to actually like be pregnant and do, and the fact that that's still how you
and have unsupportive
this.
And have an unsupportive family system,
yes,
around you,
yes,
at the time, and I an unsupportive. But it's not even like the boyfriend was doing anything, let alone his family.
Right.
They hate Bronwyn.
If it turns out that there are fraud allegations with Bronwyn, I'm like, it makes sense how she got where she got. Like, she had no one. She was scrappy, had to get her way to the top however she could. And, like,
yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. All right, let's get into our rotations. You're on Dream.
First is Music That Surprises Me.
Okay.
Her albums that surprise me. Renee Rapp's album surprised me.
So you were liking it?
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually.
Oh, my gosh, because, like, I feel like last week you were like, I'm just ready for her to, like, really sing.
Well,
which
I
can
am.
Still be true,
I
feel like
way.
You weren't that into it.
Well, I had only listened to it once.
Okay.
And I really didn't like the single, so I was like, do I actually
Yeah, I mean,
like
the single
this?
Was terrible. The single is not a good, like, precursor to the album,
really. I feel like she has the Taylor disease.
Maybe,
of, like, not really being able to pick
her the right single.
But
well, nowadays, too, I feel like the whole single is, like, they're like, is it going to trend on TikTok? If
not,
I totally agree.
Can't
be the single.
Audrey Hobart's album, I was worried that it wasn't going to stock up to Sumi.
Is it good?
But it's really good.
Oh,
also,
I haven't listened yet.
This is a caveat to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is I think that it's going to age poorly. Is this the songwriting style that's like so tongue-in-cheek and like everything has a punchline?
Yeah.
I was going to say Sabrina kind of originated.
I was going to say,
and I guess maybe a little bit. But also Chapel.
And
but they both do it really well. Not as much. That's not so much what I mean.
What about
I
the
mean
one
like
song
the innuendos and the Renee does it a lot. Like the amount of overt like innuendos.
What's the one,
you know,
I'm
what
thinking
I mean?
Of?
I guess that's an oxymoron.
Oh, Rose song that's like two, you can read it two ways. I'm gonna go tell your mom you suck. Get you back.
Yeah. No, but I don't mean that. I mean, that to me is very smart. And not that these other things aren't smart. Like, I still think that, like, the writing, and I say this about Sabrina, she's quick, she's witty.
Yeah.
But I do think we're going to grow tired of the constant jokes, especially the sexual jokes in these songs. And I just feel like the way that Renee, Chapel, Audrey Hobart, and Sabrina, the way that they talk about, the way they write about sex, it's not going to... It worked because it was so original.
Yeah.
And now it's like everybody's trying to figure out how to write like that. And I just think it's really going to age this time period of music.
Yeah.
But anyway. And then Conan Gray's album, I actually like did not expect that at all.
Interesting.
And I think it's because we're leaning into late 90s, early 2000s kind of. These aren't all covering the same thing, but like Audrey Hobart, Renee Rapp, Olivia Rodrigo, they're kind of, there's a early 2000s like pop, punk, rock. Like, I don't know. There's just something about the use of real instruments, yeah, guitars, all this stuff. It sounds really good. And then Conan Gray and I think Role Model kind of started this. Like, mm-hmm, just music that sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, being pleasantly surprised by music. Next is Sid and Snoop. I missed those dogs so much.
I'm so glad that you're getting some QT with them. Some QT with the QTs.
Because I haven't seen them in like 8 months.
Great. That's actually bonkers. Okay, I'm going to get into mine because I got to go. But Nightmare Rotation. The first thing is, I don't know if you guys saw the video circulating of Liz Gilley singing Take a Hint, and she sounds fucking fabulous. Except that the person who's filming the video is singing every single word, and it's borderline unwatchable, unlistenable. Like, I can't hear Liz Gillies over this person, and Pop Crave is posting it. Elite Daily, like, everywhere's posting
it. So it's like the only video we have.
With this fucking person. Yes! And this fucking person is singing every word. Shut the fuck up! Shut up!
Because that girl can sing.
You're acting.
I think we can all sing.
You're acting like you. It was obvious she wanted everyone to know she knew all the words. Shut the fuck up. If you're going to be taking this video, don't be singing. Like, what? Okay. You don't know what you're going to catch. Don't take a video at a concert with you singing at the top of your lungs. You don't know what you're going to catch. You might need to post that, and then you have to post the one with you singing, and that sucks. Okay, next is Aunt Gladys from Weapons, because she was fucking scary. She's, like, low-key on The Dream, but like Nightmare, because she's scary. And then final is the Diet Pepsi naysayers. Hearing that Addison Rae said there are people who didn't think Diet Pepsi was going to work, I'm like, are you out of your gourd? What's
and
not to work?
Seeing quote tweets that are, like, hit where?
Oh!
Hit in my car.
Just tell me you don't
hit
know music.
On my Spotify.
Just tell me you don't have taste. Just say it. And also, like, if you didn't like Addison Rae doing it, you sure as hell sure love Ben Platt doing it.
I love what Matt said. Matt was like, it was really cool to see people being surprised that they were moved by it.
Well, of course. Well, that is the power of Ben Platt's voice. And maybe you guys have forgotten because he's been so wrapped up in just who he is.
Tried to get the family to watch theater camp last night. Didn't work.
I can imagine that didn't go well. But yeah, I just think his cover of Diet Pepsi was fabulous. And imagine if Addison Rae's team had gotten through to her and she never released it. We wouldn't have Ben Platt's version or her version. And I can't imagine in America I would want to live in less. Just kidding. I can. All right, guys. That's the episode. Make sure you tune into our Patreon. We talked all about Big Brother. If you're missing the Big Brother talk there, our podcast for this month on Patreon focuses a lot on the game. Tune in on Thursday for our recap of Season 7, Episode 15 of Pretty Little Liars. We're also going to talk about some of the exciting things we have upcoming for our Pretty Little Liars fall. Lots and lots and lots. So stay tuned. Make sure you're following our social accounts and you're up to date on all of that. And last things last, if you could please give us a 5-star rating, especially on Apple Podcasts. Guys, it helps us so much. That is how people find us. That is how we can get on the charts. That is how we can continue to make this podcast for you guys the way we've been doing it. So if you can take a couple seconds out of your day to do that, it would mean the world. Thank you guys for listening. We love you so much, and we will see you next week.
And Splat.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.